Let's Talk Food. Jess Daniel of Jess's Underground Kitchen says that everyone needs an extraordinary pumpkin soup in their kitchen repertoire. And I'm very excited because I make pumpkin soup all the time. Hello there.
Hi, Jesse. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Nice to have you in. Your dad has texted. Is your dad or your mum, Chris?
Oh, that's my mum. Oh, yes, she's listening eagerly. She likes to think that the tip I'm going to share is hers.
She says, tell my daughter Jess when she comes on today to do what her mum does, put the whole pumpkin in a moderate oven and roast for an hour or so, then scoop out the flesh.
I think she thinks that she taught me that, but I actually think, Mum, that I taught you that, at least according to my cookbook.
We've had all sorts of tips on getting to grips with pumpkins, because I am keen on the pumpkin soup, but the hardest part is dealing with this massive,
cutting
heavy,
the pumpkin.
Huge thing, yeah.
Right, and it's such a shame, because at this time of year, pumpkins are cheap. You can pick up a whole pumpkin for a couple of bucks sometimes. Mm. So my trick, Mum, darling mum, dearest, is to put the whole pumpkin in the oven, 170, 180 degrees, roast it for sort of 50, 60 minutes until it's nice and soft. Now, the trick here is to take it out of the oven and leave it to cool enough that you can handle it safely, because if you try and cut into that pumpkin straight away, it's going to be steaming, you're going to get burnt.
Thermonuclear.
Yeah, totally. It's all basically steamed from the outside in.
Uh-huh.
So wait for it to cool a bit, cut it into quarters, and then the flesh is literally going to scoop away.
Okay.
And you can pull the skin away. You've got this beautifully roasted pumpkin flesh that you could turn into a puree, you can turn into a soup, and best news, no cutting involved.
Yeah. Do you get the same roasting flavours if you do it that way?
You do. It's a little bit different. I guess you don't get that caramelised edge that you then burn. But what I like to do is then caramelise my onions and my garlic in a pot before I add the pumpkin and whatever flavours that I'm adding. Last year I had one of those, you know, gizmo blenders that you put everything in and it cooks it and blends it and, you know, 30 minutes later you've got a soup, which is very convenient, but you don't get those extra levels of flavour that you get when you roast or sauté or, you know, cook something down.
I'm always looking for the easiest possible way of doing pumpkin soup, and so sometimes I think, oh, can I be bothered roasting it today? Someone suggested that if you put a pumpkin in a slow cooker, that kind of prepares it quite nicely for cutting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, my other easy life hack for pumpkin soup, if you like Thai flavours, is to roast your pumpkin whole in the oven, break it down, and then blend it with some curry paste. So you might have like some Thai red curry paste or some Thai yellow curry paste in the fridge. And the flavours work so well with the sweetness of the pumpkin. Add a little bit of coconut cream to loosen it if you want that creaminess. Mm. And that Thai pumpkin soup is an absolute winner, and you've probably got curry paste in the fridge already.
Yeah, okay. So take us through your sort of your base pumpkin soup recipe.
So my base pumpkin soup, I don't really know whether I'd describe it as having a particular ethnicity. It's sort of got, you know, warming herbs like cumin and coriander. You've got some lovely earthy turmeric in there, cinnamon, nutmeg. So it's a little bit Mediterranean. But what I like to do to really bring out the sweetness in the pumpkin is add some zest and juice of an orange. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah, it just adds this like lovely sort of sweet fruitiness, but without overpowering the pumpkin. And I mean, all of these herbs and flavours would also pair really well with kumara if you were wanting to use a different vegetable. And then you can, like I said before, you can either loosen a pumpkin soup with some coconut cream. Natural yogurt adds a really nice tang as well.
Mm. Talk us through the sort of technique.
Okay, so you're going to roast the whole pumpkin in the oven, as I mentioned, and then let it cool enough to handle. And then I like to add a splash of olive oil into a pan, sauté off some onions and garlic. And there's really no correct quantity here, as much as you like. If you're feeling a bit ill, maybe add some extra garlic in there. You could even add some ginger as well. It would be quite good for some winter wellness. And then you can either add water or a little bit of chicken or vegetable stock if you've got some on hand, and add whatever herbs you're using and spices. So maybe you've got some cumin, coriander, turmeric, cinnamon, nutmeg, whatever else you'd like to add. Bring it to a boil for about 10 minutes. And bear in mind here, the pumpkin's already cooked, so it actually comes together really quickly. You could even, what I did last week actually, is I roasted a whole pumpkin and actually some whole bulbs of garlic on a Sunday night. And Monday night, got home from work cold, wanted a lovely warm soup, and it was on the table within 15 minutes because all the prep was done, you know?
And then you add the coconut cream, usually sort of last, right?
Yeah, just add that last so you get the consistency that you want. The orange juice, you could add a squeeze of lemon juice in there too, and then just blitz it until creamy.
Should say hello to the many, many people getting in touch with me telling to chop up the pumpkin with an axe.
Whoa.
It's very high maintenance.
Very high maintenance.
You've got to go get your axe from under the house. You've got to find a good place to chop it.
Maybe that's what they're doing down at field days.
Yeah. Somebody else wants to know what you do with the pumpkin seeds. You just trash them, do you?
Yeah, you know, like I've tried to find ways to use up pumpkin seeds because it seems such a waste, and I've roasted them and I've tried pickling them, and I mean, bar throwing them into your garden if you've got the space and hoping for some sprouting pumpkins next year. It's almost just too much to actually go through the process of trying to get pumpkin seeds from pumpkin seeds.
Do you ever make your own stock?
I do. And one of the best things that you can do is have a bag in your freezer, and every time you peel onions or peel carrots or any kind of vegetable that you chop the head off, throw it into the bag, and when you've got enough to make a pot, throw it on the stove if you've got a chicken carcass. And then you don't have to buy everything that you need to make a stock or have everything all at once. You can actually save it up and wait till you have enough to impart that flavour.
I've been making some awesome stocks lately. We've got a big oversized slow cooker. And I've been going down to my butcher and getting some chicken feet.
Oh, great.
And then chicken, like, frames, I think they call them, and then roasting them and putting them in for, like... Opinions differ as to how long you can, like, boil chicken bones for, but I've been doing it long and it's been working pretty good.
Yeah, I think the longer the better for any kind of bone. Yeah. There's always some flavour to break down, right?
Yeah, okay. And then what about sort of if you want to do something a bit different with the pumpkin soup? You've got a couple of ideas for shifting the flavour a bit.
Absolutely. So that's a good base recipe. If you want to go down the Asian route, you can either take, you know, some curry paste or add, you know, ginger, lemongrass, coriander, finish it with some fresh chilli is delicious too. Or I quite like sometimes, if I feel like an Indian curry but I don't quite want a whole curry, I'll add some curry paste and then some toasted mustard seeds with a nice dollop of natural yogurt, and you sort of get that, like, lovely warming Indian curry effect without the full gambit.
Would you be opposed to my trick of chucking in some split red lentils or something like that?
Ooh, and turn it into like a pumpkin
kind
dal.
Of a dal thing, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Okay. How's the business going?
We're very busy at the moment. We've just opened a new store in Orewa. Couple of weeks ago. Yeah, so that's going gangbusters. And we have got Parnell opening in a couple of weeks, so keep an eye out for that.
You have signed up to this new app, the Foodprint app. We interviewed the founder of this last week, and it's this app where businesses, cafes, restaurants can let people know when they've got food that hasn't sold, and they sort of sell them at a discount. And you've signed up to that. What was the appeal?
Yeah, well, Michael, the founder, approached me probably a couple of months ago now and told me about this app that she was developing, and she's done such a good job. I mean, from a vendor and as a consumer, it's so easy to use, really easy to sign up. And basically, she's trying to save food from landfill. So for us as a business, you know, waste is something that we really try and avoid as much as possible. But sometimes there is waste. We might have a rainy day and we don't sell, you know, quite as many meals as we normally do. So
I had to see you had a pretty good phyllo pie on the other day.
Yeah, phyllo pie with a winter slaw.
Yeah.
So basically, Michael, also through the Foodprint app, you can access food that cafes or restaurants are willing to sell for half price, which is great if you, you know, want something and you're prepared to save something from going to landfill. And we basically get to keep our costs on that meal rather than seeing it going into the bin.
Yeah, good one. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thanks. I've bought you some soup.
What?
This is, I know it doesn't look like much and these never do, but it's a ham hock and barley soup.
Oh, and that will get you ham hock.
From afternoon to evening.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Jess from Jess's Underground Kitchen.